Many of you know that we have church on Wednesday nights. This week, I have probably done more studying than I have done in a long time for us trying to prepare a message. How many know that it's not just getting something? It is listening to the Holy Spirit and knowing that you've got a now word. Oh, four or five different things that I had started preparing for, and the feeling just wasn't there. And I know these ministers know what I'm talking about. And as of Friday evening into Saturday, the Lord directed me to go back to what I talked about Wednesday night and go a little deeper into that this morning. Would you help me this morning as I try to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit? We sung that song for a reason. We need the Holy Spirit. Every avenue of our lives, we need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read a verse found in Luke 4 and 1. Luke 4 and 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That word full just jumped out at me. In John 3 and 34... it says, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Another translation says, "For God gives him the Spirit without limit." I want you to let that soak in. God gives him the Spirit without limit. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And I could just go on and on with different scriptures pertaining to this. But in all of this, we see that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. We find that Jesus was led by the Spirit. We also find that God gave him the Spirit without limit. We find also that Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Can I tell you this morning that I believe that God wants every believer to be full, to be filled with the Spirit. There are those that's not for sure what it really means to be full or filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me put it this way. Every believer must decide who will rule their lives. In other words, we have a choice. We can walk in the flesh. We can fulfill the lust thereof, which he tells us to turn away from. Or we can decide that we want God to rule our lives and walk in the Spirit. There's always a battle. The battle is against the flesh and the Spirit. The devil wants you to be led by the flesh. God wants you to be led by the Spirit. So this morning, we either surrender to Christ or we deliberately, and I say that word for a reason, we deliberately go our own way. I believe that it's important for every believer to make up their mind, I'm going to crucify the flesh and I'm going to be full of the Spirit and I'm going to be led by the Spirit. D.L. Moody once said, we're leaking vessels. So we have to keep ourselves under the fountain all the time. You see, it's amazing to me that we can come to church and I can get so fueled up. I mean, turned on and full of the Spirit. But it's amazing to me that when I walk out the door, sometimes, maybe on Monday, I find out that I don't feel as full. Am I talking to anybody? So I'm like D.L. Moody. I think that, you know, we have to keep ourselves under the fountain. We understand this morning that yesterday's filling will not be enough for today. There are those that are trying to live off what happened Wednesday night, what happened last Sunday. But I want to tell you, yesterday's filling won't be enough for today. When I leave here today, I trust that I got everything that I needed out of this service. But when I get up on Monday morning, I need to be full of the Spirit. You've often heard me say that I never talk with anyone when I get up in the morning until I have talked to God. Why? Because I need to be full of the Spirit. You see, it's like the manna that the Israelites receive from God every day in the wilderness. They got what they needed for the day. I know that we live in a rush, hurry up world. But I want to tell you, if you don't spend time with God in the morning, get everything that you need in the morning, you're setting yourself up for a rough day. Tony Evans said, without the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be no progress. In other words, we all want to grow. We all want to do what God has called us to do. But yet, without the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be no progress. He enables us to do what we can't do within ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you to walk in that new nature. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. But without the Holy Spirit, I will always walk in that path. But having to know that we have a new nature, and the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in that new nature. Now, I want to say something this morning that I don't take lightly, and I feel that many need to hear it. Many are looking in the wrong places for the power. Everybody's hungry for power. But I want to tell you, if you're looking in the wrong places, you'll never have the power. I'm looking to God because through the Holy Spirit, we have the power, the ability to do what we can't do. I could not stand before you today without the Holy Spirit's leading. Wednesday night, we shared with you four different thoughts, and I want to just kind of name them and go on. We shared with you, number one, that the Holy Spirit is our connector. He connects us to God through the new birth. You see, you couldn't even get saved without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that connected you to God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is our protector. He protects us from the evil influence of this world. Amen. We're not of this world. And number three, the Holy Spirit is our director. He directs us in the ways of God. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I need His directions. I need God leading me, directing me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Every day of my life, I must have His leadership, His direction. The Holy Spirit is our revelator. He reveals to us things. The Scripture tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that will bring things to your remembrance. How many times have you read something in the Bible and you didn't get anything out of it, and all of a sudden you would read it again and the Holy Spirit would bring things out and it'd just jump out at you? He's a revelator. How many times have you prayed in this altar and you didn't even know what to pray for, how to pray? Amen. The Bible tells us, for we know not what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's the Holy Spirit. Even when I don't have the words, my blessed Lord. Some of the greatest times of prayer was when I wasn't talking. Sort of like one time when I was asked to pray over the food. I bowed my head. Everybody bowed their head. I didn't say anything. Then I said, amen. Somebody said, I didn't hear nothing you said. I said, I wasn't talking to you. So there's going to be times that you, in your prayer life, you're not going to know what to say or anything like that. But don't let it discourage you. Pray in the Spirit. We live in a day that well, I'm not scared, but I don't want to be mistaken either. We live in a day that when we say spirit-filled, to some it's like a bad word. And believe me, I've been in some of those services. That the Holy Spirit got blamed for things that He didn't do. The Holy Spirit will never embarrass. No. But when you say Holy Spirit, some, you know, everybody seems to get a different meaning. You've been in services, and I've been in services where they would say, just mind God. That's a good saying. I like that. I've been in services where they would just say, let the Spirit have His way. I understand that. But I want to tell you this morning, it's not a bad word. It isn't a scary word. Even though I've been in some of those services that scared me. You'd be surprised what I've been told that they said the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. And I left thinking either I'm not connected or they're not connected. So the word, the Holy Spirit filled is not a bad word. It's not a crazy word. It's not even a weird word. It just means the Holy Spirit is living within us. And through the Holy Spirit, we become more like Jesus every day. Anybody here want to walk in His footsteps and be like Him? You'll never be like Him when you reject the Spirit. Then there are those who believe that you just get saved in your own. But I want to tell you, the same Holy Spirit that convicted me, drawed me in, is the same Holy Spirit that helps me today. It's the same Holy Spirit that comforts me. It's the same Holy Spirit that leads me, directs me. In other words, He didn't just save me and say, you're on your own. Thank God I have the Holy Spirit within me. We spend way too much time praying the Holy Spirit to fill this building. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit don't need to fill this building. He needs to fill you. We all need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That might have made the devil mad. I'm glad. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, and be not drunk with wine. There are those that will use that to beat somebody over the head, but they'll never use the last part. Amen. But be filled with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody here the Spirit filled? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit walks with you, talks with you. Amen. On the inside, the Holy Spirit is bubbling up on the inside of you. I feel a mean straight. Bobby, will you help me? Amen. Hold people all. The security, if you see them coming after me with a gun, get them before they get me. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, we want the church to be everything that the church can be. But I want to tell you, the church will never be what it needs to be until we get full of the Spirit. There comes a time that we don't need to pray for revival. We need to draw a circle and get in that circle and say, God, revive me. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. I need a personal revival. I need to be full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Did all right? Did I just say what I feel? There's been a lot of pastors. There's been a lot of churches that have put the Holy Spirit in a box. Sort of like the snake handlers. They got the snakes in the box. They pull them out occasionally when they want to handle snakes. Amen. And some pastors and churches are like that. They have put the Holy Spirit in the box. I want to tell you, I believe that it's time, and now time, that we open the box and let the Holy Spirit have His way. Well, glory, hallelujah. This praise team does an awesome job, but they'll have no effect on us until we're full of the Spirit. This praise team will have no effect unless they're full of the Spirit. As a leader of this church, you'll have no effect until you become full of the Spirit. How many wants to be full of the Spirit? Amen. Some has leaked out. I want some more. I want to be full. Ooh, glory. So I think we need to take him out, don't you? I believe that we're saved because the Holy Spirit convicted us. Because we're born of the Spirit. John 3:5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I want to tell you, I just gave you a mouthful right there. So you would agree with me that the Holy Spirit has a part in your salvation. But I want to go just a step farther. I need Him. I've been saved for several years. I'm not going to be like that and say I've been in the way for 40 years. Amen. I've been saved for several years. I have been saved, and it's the Holy Spirit that convicted me and drew me in. But I want to tell you, I need the Holy Spirit today. The same Holy Spirit that convicted me is the same Holy Spirit I need in everyday life. 1 Corinthians 6:19, no. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Understanding that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in earthly temples. Now, we can go back in the Old Testament in the temple, you know, and all this. This is where God dwelt. But thank God the middle wall was torn out, that we're not on the outside anymore. Amen. He doesn't dwell in the temple. He dwells in you and I, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And let me go ahead and say this, on good days and bad days. You see, we let our emotions get all out of sort. Sometimes I come up here and I feel out preaching and I leave like, woo, hallelujah, I can't wait to preach again. Sometimes I get up here and I preach and it didn't go over real good and I stuttered and amen and everything else. But I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit is in this temple when I feel good, when I feel bad, when I'm on the mountain, when I'm in the valley. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is there. Now, listen to me. I'm fixing to hit you hard. Go back to our text. I get amazed when people says, oh, the Holy Spirit told me to go get a lottery ticket and I was going to win the lottery. I'm going to build that new church for you, Pastor. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me to get a brand new vehicle. I get amazed at how many people talk about the Holy Spirit is always something personal coming to me. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. I want to tell you, if I'm in the wilderness, I want to know I have the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem. We think we don't have the Holy Spirit unless we're not hooping and hollering. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing. But I want to tell you, on my bad days, He's in there. I feel the Holy Spirit here telling me I need to dwell here just a minute. Amen. Some of you are on an emotional roller coaster. Amen. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Glory. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then all of a sudden you're in the valley and you begin to question what the Spirit's like. I want to tell you, in your lowest valley, you still have the Holy Spirit within you. If you didn't, the devil would sift you as wheat. As Forrest Gump said, that's all I got to say concerning this matter. Now, this ain't going to be for everybody, but I believe that God is ushering in a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days. I believe we're living in the last days, don't you? Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And upon thy servant and upon thy handmaiden in those days I will pour out my Spirit." So if He's pouring it out, I want it. Now, when we talk about God the Father, we all can understand that concept because we have a Father. We have an earthly Father, I have a heavenly Father. We talk about God the Son. We understand the concept of a Son. But when we talk about God the Holy Spirit, people cannot understand something that they cannot see. I may not understand it, but I want to tell you, I've experienced it. John 3:8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." In other words, I can't see wind, but I can see the results of what wind did. So because we can't see it, we don't understand it in the fullness, then we just don't have anything to do with it. But I want to tell you, I need the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 5:7, "For there's three that bears witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." In other words, the God of the universe, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, sent His only begotten Son in the world to redeem us from our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, He was buried, and He was resurrected on the third day. Then we go to Acts 1:3. After He was resurrected, He showed Himself alive. Anybody alive? You got that Holy Spirit on the inside. You're alive. "After His passion, of many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Then John 16:7, we read, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." How many believe that Jesus made it all the way back to the Father, and He sent back the Holy Ghost, He sent back the Holy Spirit? Amen. And that's why I'm alive today. I have that Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Glory. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth." Understanding that Jesus walked on this earth. Those disciples were with him. And we think, boy, wouldn't it be something to walk with Jesus like that and see the lame get up and walk, the blind begin to see, all these things, the miracles that he performed. But can I tell you that when Jesus made it back to the Father, he knew that we were going to need the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit, amen, that does the work. Jesus went back to the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit back to us. It is the same thing that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's what the Holy Spirit is in us for. Amen. We want to see things. We'll never see it happen until we get connected. Amen. We get full of the Spirit. Amen. Then we can see those things begin to take place. As a Christian, we have God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, inside of us. I want to let that soak in. If the devil can get that out of that mind, that what you have on the inside of you, he'll defeat you. But I want to tell you, I know that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I have that Holy Spirit within me. Amen? I have it. Do you? Any saved people here today? You're saved because of the Spirit. I'm a little hesitant about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Isn't it good that we serve a personal God? I'm talking about one-on-one. You look around this church, everybody's different. Some are handsome like me, then there's Gary. Everybody is different. Now here's the problem. Is when we think of the Holy Spirit, we connect it with something. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that makes so-and-so do this or so-and-so do that. Can I tell you it's not in the shaking? And I've been there. I want to tell you, I've been under the power of God, and it was so strong I shook. John said, fell as a dead man. It's not in the feeling. It's not in the emotions. And hallelujah. Please understand me, God. Please understand me. I sure like to feel it. But it's not in the feeling. It's not in the emotion. It's not when we're jumping or we're shouting or crying. It's not when we're just rolling in the floor. That's an outward display of a physical emotion. We're all different. If you don't believe that, man, that woman right over there, we're so different. You're married too, don't laugh. Thank God she's not like me. We're so different. And if you don't believe this, let me give you a test to take. Spring is here. Ball games is going to happen. If you don't believe we're all different, you go to a ball game. I'll show you we're different. I was watching Alabama and Auburn one time, and James is not here, so I can preach on him. They threw the ball, and he jumped in the living room to catch it. But you go to a ball game, I go to the ball game to watch the parents and the grandparents. Amen, that's fun. But you go to a ball game, you got those standing up and hollering. And Lord, I don't understand that one sitting over on the end, just sitting there. I know they're a grandchild, and they're just sitting there. But the truth is, that one sitting over there was enjoying the game. That one said, I wish they'd shut up where I could hear what's going on. We're all different. The Holy Spirit uses us in different ways. But even on my bad day, He is there. And that's what I want to drive home. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Would you stand? I'm not through preaching. I just don't want to try your patience. I've been in services where the preacher preached me under conviction, then preached me out of conviction. I've been in services where the preacher preached me happy, then he preached me sad. Amen. But as our heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you to do something for me this morning that very important. I want to ask you to slip up those antennas to the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Heavenly Father to just fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, fill us up. God, fill us up. Lord, don't allow us to leave here the same way we came. Fill us up. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. I'm believing right now while your hands are lifted that God is giving you a double portion of His Spirit. That it's going to flow through you. I believe Him while your hands are lifted that you're going to begin to know what it is to walk in the Spirit. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow and it's going to be different. People are going to see the difference because you went to work not in the flesh, you went to work in the Spirit. And some of you are going to begin to talk to someone this week. And as you're talking, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to bring things to your remembrance, and you're going to begin to speak things. And when you get through, you're going to say, where in the world did that come from? It was the Holy Spirit using you, enabling you, bringing things to your remembrance. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with Your Spirit. I receive it now in Jesus' name. As the pastor of this church, I'm going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm going to talk in the fullness of the Spirit. Every Sunday school teacher, Lord, allow them to walk in the fullness of Your Spirit. Every leader, in Jesus' name, fill us with Your Spirit. All right, as you're looking at me this morning, just for a moment, do you want to know what God says about this? I'm not going to tell you. Nobody wants to know. Do you really want to know what God says about this? Okay. Hallelujah. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. How many is ready to let it flow through you? God bless you. Shake hands.